Well, glad you're here today. And as you know, we go through our study in the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 14, verse 14 through 23. When you come to Calvary Chapel, you study line upon line, precept upon precept. There's no skipping the hard stuff and just doing the cream stuff. So you have to go through the whole thing. And we're talking over and over the past 2 weeks about the gray areas in Christianity. How do we deal with the gray areas? The sin areas, we know. We know there's certain things you do not transgress because the Scripture is very clear on them. But there's a plethora of things in life that we just don't know how to address them, that we must seek God on. And there's differences of opinions. One Christian may think this is the worst thing in the world, and another thinks they have the liberty to do it. And it's a stronger and a weaker brother, and we've gone over that over and over. He's going to emphasize this week the law of love, maintaining unity within the body of Christ and not to separate over these gray areas. So if you would, stand for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 14, verse 14 through 23. Starting in verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God, approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for this time that you have given us to study the word of the living God. This is your message to your people on how to live out our faith while we're here. Thank you for this time together. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to each person here. Lord, we come from different places, different areas. We need to hear from you in a specific area, and I believe you'll talk to us today, and you'll touch us in our area of need. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you know, the theme of Romans, as we say it every week, is the just or the righteous shall live by faith. It is broken down into six areas, which you'll say with me: sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so long. We are in that section called service. We've talked about sin, how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, how everyone needs a Savior. We talked about salvation and how putting our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a simple act of believing, placing our trust in Him, committing ourselves to Him, that brings someone into the family of God. And then we talked about the sanctification, how to live out our faith, and the sovereignty of God, how He is at work in everything that is going on in our world. Now we're talking about service. And in the service section, we started in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and very much emphasis was put on not to be conformed to this world, not to be squeezed into this world's mold, but be transformed, metamorphosed, changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. That's what happens when you're born again of the Spirit. You're changed from the inside out. And when you receive Jesus as your Savior, character changes, life changes, the things that you like and the things that you don't like change. And it's a process. For some people it's fast, for some people it is slow. But if you're really born of the Spirit, there will be change. Old you to new you. And we've talking about last week and this week about the gray areas, those non-sin areas that cause so much division between people. We talked about inappropriate judgments last week with a stronger brother. In 3a, it says this: let not him who eats despise him who eats not. Now we're talking about the stronger brother having the freedom to eat whatever he wants, and this is meat sacrificed to idols. And the stronger brother realizes that the idol is nothing, it's nothing real, that this is good meat and you can eat it. The weaker brother says, oh no, it was sacrificed to an idol, don't touch it, it's contaminated, it's going to contaminate you. And so there's division within this group of people over whether you should eat or not. So the stronger brother is not to despise the weaker brother. That word despise is worthless, detestable, to look down on the weaker brother as being indeed weaker than they are. We are not to do that. The weaker brother has his own warning, and that's 3b. Let him not who does not eat judge him who eats. That word judge is kareno. I don't know if you remember that, but that's to judge with the idea of condemning. So the weaker brother is condemning the stronger brother, the guy that thinks he's got the freedom to eat meat. So both of them are in effect wrong. Both of them are condemning the other one. This is a gray area that is between you and God. In all gray areas, we must give grace. Grace to the person, favor to the person, defer to the person, not get in fights. Unity is the goal, folks, within the body of Messiah, body of Christ, for the sake of unity. And we have to think about the other person. Thinking about the other person is the Jesus way, is the Christian way. I'll give you a couple verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but with humility consider others better than yourself. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It is always others over self. Others over self. The question is this. In debatable areas, what are we to do? We are to ask God how he wants us to respond in these debatable areas. We may not agree, but we want to come out of this thing unified. And then he gives us a very strong caution in verse 11 last time. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. What are they going to confess? Well, in Philippians 2:11, that Jesus Christ is Lord, Kurios, Master, Ruler, Owner. He's in charge. God is the judge, not me. So in non-gray areas, obey what God is saying to you. Let's get into our teaching for today, the law of love and unity. It starts out with, do not grieve your brother, verse 14 and 15. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, this idol sacrifice food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. I want you to notice something. Notice what Paul says right out of the chute. I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus. This is a direct Jesus to Paul. Jesus to Paul. Jesus told me. Jesus told Paul directly about this. What did he tell them? Nothing is unclean of itself. This is referring back to verses 2 and 3 from last week. There is nothing unclean of itself. There's a slide here about meat. It doesn't look so chummy there. It's all raw, needs to be cooked, but there is nothing unclean of itself. Eating meat is not a sin. It does not defile us. It doesn't matter if it's sacrificed to an idol or not. An idol is nothing. And it is not unclean. Eating meat is only unclean if you personally convince yourself that it is. This is a gray area, in which case you are weak in the faith, according to Paul. Now, I want you to think about something. If we believe that we can eat meat, and the weaker brother says, man, I'm really convicted about this. I don't think I should. But the weaker brother really likes meat. He likes his hamburger. So you got this next thing. You do not take this and whiff it under his nose and go, hey, weaker brother, are you sure you're weak? Are you sure you're weak? No, you don't do that. You want to be considerate of them. So if the weaker brother's conscience cannot deal with this, to him it is unclean. To that person it is unclean. The New Living Translation says this, if another brother believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat that luscious hamburger in front of them. Be careful of the weaker brother. The law of love informs me I must be considerate of the weaker brother in gray areas. Over and over and over, Paul repeats this. Not to destroy with your food, not to destroy the weaker brother. Even if you have the liberty, you have the liberty to do this. You do not want to offend the weaker brother. You want to give them grace in the gray areas. If I really love someone, if I care for them, I really care for someone, I'll be very aware of their weak points. And I won't try to exploit their weak points. I'll be considerate of them, of their weak points, not to tempt them or give them cause to fall into some dark hole of despair. Now, we've used this example last time. I'll use it again this time since it's a good example. If someone has a problem with alcohol, I must not use my liberty to have a social drink in order to tempt them into an area that they consider is a sin for them. How about smoking? Now, I think it's healthy not to smoke, but there's Christians that smoke. And there's a Christian that's struggling with smoking. I think it's not proper for us who have the liberty to do what, I don't think you should smoke, but this is just an example, but lighting up a big stogie in front of that guy and then the smoke underneath his nose, and the guy's trying to quit. I mean, he thinks it's a problem. How about going to the casino? That's always a big one. If you have a problem with gambling, if you have a problem, I have a whole problem with the casino myself, but I would encourage you, if someone has a problem with a gambling addiction, you don't encourage them, let's go see a show at the casino. Creedence Clearwater Revival's coming. I might change my opinion on the casino for a week, but we don't want to have the, because you're going in there, da-ding, 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 and it triggers. So be careful how you act in these gray areas or these areas of challenge for another Christian. To not help our brother in their area of weakness, to exploit to use our liberty and exploit their weakness is not love, it's selfishness. Remember what love does. Love is an action. It's a verb. It can be used as a noun. But most of the time, it's an action. It's something that we do. It's demonstrated. Love is demonstrated. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this, love edifies. What does edifies? Builds up. Builds up. Does not tear down. 1 Corinthians 13:4, the love chapter. Love is kind, not cruel. It's cruel sometimes the way that we treat each other in Christendom over gray areas. How we call people wrong, 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 because we have their personal belief in gray areas. How about this one, 13:5? Love is not self-seeking. It's not selfish. 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So loud and clear, love is considerate of the other person. It's always other-centered. And you know what love does? It always provides for, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Folks, it's the law of love. One more time. It's not going to be one more time, but at least for now. Do not grieve the weaker brother or cause him or her to fall. Love them for real. Folks, when we love the brethren that we're in disagreement with in gray areas, we are in fact following the law of love. The law of love. Now, the next one's going to be give no reason for criticism in the law of love. That's going to be verses 16 through 18. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. This is to the population that's watching your Christian life being played out. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Now, I want you to focus on something for just a second. You say you're a Christian. The world is watching you. How are you living out your faith? How are we treating fellow Christians? Are we talking about them in the workplace? In our church, this is going on, and blah, 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 that whole thing. We have to be very careful. The world is watching you, Christian, watching how you live out your faith, watching how you treat one another, particularly within Christendom itself. Watching if we really will submit to one another and be considerate of another. Verse 16, do not let your good be spoken of evil by the population that is watching you. They're watching you. They're waiting for you to mess up, to say your Christianity really doesn't work. How we get along with one another in the body of Christ is a huge witness to the world that Christianity really works. You know what's a devastating thing? When you have a church split, or you have a church pastor run off with the church secretary, and there you go again. It's the hypocritical Christians saying one thing and doing another. It happens all the time, all over the place. It's not about my liberty, folks. It's about the kingdom of God. I represent my Lord. You are an ambassador of Christ. We must become less. He must become greater. We represent him. Be very careful how you live in this culture. It's very easy for someone to look at you and say, hypocrite. That's why I don't like that Christianity stuff. Verse 17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a question for you. You might be thinking this. What is the kingdom of God? And I'll give you an answer. The kingdom of God is God's rule in the heart of believers today. The kingdom of God is also going to be Jesus' millennial thousand-year kingdom, which we believe is coming soon. But the kingdom of God, in a sense, is also this. It's God's rule over the universe and everything that he created. Well, if he is in charge of everything that he has created, why all this mess on planet Earth? Because God has allowed for a short period of time for rebellion to occur in his creation. He gave humanity and the angelic realm, his higher order of creation, the ability to choose contrary to him. That's contrary choice. That you can either choose for God or against God. Why did he do that? Because he really wants a people to volitionally love him. He could have created us to love him. Automatic. You're just going to love me. But he did not do that. Real love requires a choice. It requires freedom. Freedom. So, God's kingdom is not about my Christian liberty in regard to eating or drinking. It's about his righteousness. It's about obeying his commands. It's God's rule in my life. But guess what? God does not force you to believe in him. He does not force you to obey him. That's up to you. If you're a believer and you disobey, what happens? Oh, that, there you go. Spanking. You know, the culture today may not want to spank you, but I can tell you, you get a spanking from God. You will. He will discipline. He whom the Lord loves, he chastens. That's right. That's right. That shows that you're genuine, that he loves you. He's taking an interest in you. God's kingdom is all about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace and joy, by the way, are a fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of many that are mentioned in Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Fruit is character change, folks. Character change as we yield to the Holy Spirit's control in our life. Change comes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control being the last one. Which one do you have the biggest problem with? Self-control. Yes, every Thanksgiving you have a self-control. Every time we have a church picnic, self-control. Self-control. Jesus, now listen, we have something in us, folks. It's the Spirit of the living God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, 16 and 17. He says this. This is literally hours before the cross. And he's encouraging his disciples. He's going to be going. They haven't quite gotten the whole thing yet. But he's literally hours before the cross. And he says this, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That another is the word allos, one of the same kind. The Holy Spirit is going to be just like Jesus. You know what that means to me? The Holy Spirit, we see all this crazy stuff in Christendom ascribed to the Holy Spirit, laughing in the Spirit, drunk in the Spirit, falling in the Spirit, and all these things. That's not like Jesus. He's going to give you another one just like Jesus, that he may abide in you forever. And guess what? He's the Spirit of truth. That word abide, meno, dwell, make his home in you forever. You are the temple of the living God, and he will abide with you. How long is he going to abide with you? Well, that was pretty weak. The answer is forever, so I'm going to ask you the question again. Now, give me a positive answer here. How long is he going to abide with you? Forever. That's right, forever. Thank you. The Spirit of God drive with us. But you know what you can do to the Spirit? You can grieve the Spirit. How do Christians grieve the Spirit? When we sin against the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? When the Spirit is directing us in a way and we go, I don't know if I want to go that way, Spirit. I think I'm going to just go my own way. It might not be overt sin, but it's certainly not obeying the way the Spirit is telling you to go. Like, Rick, don't drive over 78 on the freeway. That's my speed limit. That's my gray area. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I talked to the state police, and they said, 78, you're great. 9, you're mine. So I took that as license. Yes. Well, let me get back to where I'm supposed to be here. When we are all about God's kingdom, not about my liberty, this is pleasing and acceptable to God. Verse 18 in the New Living Translation for clarity. If you serve Christ with this attitude, this kingdom attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. Folks, we want the world to see Jesus in us. Different us, not acting like the world acts. Not being all holy and righteous when you're in church and using a lot of God talk and Jesus speak in your life, but really living this thing out for real. In the real world, that people see you, self-sacrifice, not judging other people, trying to lift other people up. We want to live out our faith for real. Others will approve of you. In verse 19, we're told to pursue love. Pursue love, the law of love. Pursue peace. This is significant. This is something that we strive to do. Let me read it to you. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for your peace and the things by which one may edify or build up one another. Romans 12, 18 is a verse that we went through a short time ago. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, Christian, live at peace, live peaceably with all people, all mankind. That's in the church. He's talking about in the church, living with peace in the church. But folks, this goes into the family. Peace between husband and wife and children and that sort of thing. It goes into your workplace. It goes into your team. It goes into every place your feet touch because you're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. As much as depends on you, Christian, we can't control another person. We are responsible for ourselves. Live peaceably with people. Pursue the things that make for your peace. Unity is the goal. Pursue means this, press forward, run hard after, like a hunter after its prey. Now, look, I have this slide here that this warrior is chasing down this antelope. This is the picture of how vehemently, how viciously, how tenaciously you pursue peace. It's not just, you know, whimsical, mamsy-pamsy well, I'm going to try to get peaceful. Oh, peace, folks, peace. No, it's a push. He says this: humans once chased antelopes for hours until they dropped from exhaustion. No weapons, just endurance. The sand of the Kalahari mastered this. Persistence hunting. We were built to run, sweat, and survive. The original marathon wasn't for sport. It was for survival. Pursuing peace like you pursue an antelope. It is an all-out effort that you make as you pursue peace. In context, folks, we're pursuing peace, not using our liberty to exploit the weaker brother. The other thing we do is to edify one another, build one another up. That is the goal. And I have this picture, this slide, where there's encouragement here. Folks, we all have this position. Either I'm pulling somebody up or I'm the one being pulled up. In Christendom, this fluxes. But we're always there together, united, helping one another, encourage one another, build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. That's the message. Pursue peace, edify one another, help one another. Our focus is to help. Folks, that's the opposite of the triunity of evil in our world. The world system, our flesh, the devil. They don't want you. They are all about me, myself, and I. But God is always about helping the other, strengthening the other, encouraging the other, unity. Now, in order to build up the body of Christ, oh, here we go. Here's my 5-second pitch here. God has given us something. What has He given us to build up the body of Christ that's being offered on September the 20th? Spiritual gifts. Yes, spiritual gifts. What's a spiritual gift? Well, we've defined that. A divine endowment given to you by God to edify or build up the body of Christ. Everyone has one. It's your responsibility to discover your spiritual gift, and it's your responsibility to use your spiritual gift within the body of Christ. This is an expectation. This class is not for the super-duper Christian. Oh, the one that wants to go over the top. No, this is the normal Christian life, folks. The normal Christian life, discover your spiritual gift and be part of the body. A healthy body, folks, is a deterrent to the enemy. Who doesn't want you to use your spiritual gift? The enemy. He wants you disunited. He wants you weak. He never wants you reaching down to help somebody else. He wants to pull you down. Or his word is, oh, that's too heavy, let him go. Let him go. Boom. You know, no, that's what he wants. Spiritual gifts are important. I would encourage you, sign up right out there. I expect to see the sheet being filled in. God is speaking to you. I believe He's speaking to you. This is not a gray area. This is a do area by God. So again, discover your gift, use your gifts. Brothers and sisters, love God, love people, and doggedly pursue peace. Like that warrior. I love that picture. 20 and 21, do not cause your brother to stumble. Verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Don't use your liberty to cause someone to stumble. The word is scandalizo. Scandalizo means to trip up, to strike against somebody. It's an amazing emphasis the Holy Spirit has given us, repeated over and over and over, not to cause our brother to stumble. God wants us to know in the gray areas, grace. It is just that simple. Not using my liberty to cause another to stumble. The point in gray areas, seek God's guidance and do what He's telling you to do. The Spirit of God speaks to your spirit. He speaks to you. You must listen, hear Him. In the gray areas, seek God's guidance. Do what He's telling you to do. That's the point. The point is this. Secondly, help one another, not hinder one another's growth. The law of love informs me to put others above myself. Again, it's really that simple. Think about in organizations like the church. Folks, there's no king in the church. This is not a king position. This isn't a worship the pastor church. This is, I have a spiritual gift. I'm just simply using my gift within the body of Christ. All the gifts are important within the body. All are equally important as we unite together using the gifts that God has given us. But in any organization, whether it's the church, the military, sports, the workplace, on a team, everyone works the best when the whole team does their part. Look at when the guards on the line, the quarterback's in a better position. When the guard falls, what happens to the quarterback? That dude's going down. So do your job. Do your job. That's what he's telling us to do. Do your job. In any organization, if someone lags behind on a team, what do? In the military, the squad is as strong as the weakest member in that squad. So you do everything to have that weak guy. You don't ever want to be the weak guy with the Marines, I can tell you that, because there's a lot of encouragement to get the weak guy to move. But anyway, you're to get the guy to move to make the team more solid. It's all about the team, not an individual, but the team. The same in the church. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, that we're all working together, united as a team, that there should be no schism, division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. No stumbling. No offenses. People take offense so easy in the church. No partiality, favoritism. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're one unit functioning together for who? Messiah. That's right. We're doing it for God. We're doing it for our Savior. That's why we're doing it. We're together, united for Him, His honor, His glory. I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit when we are disunited and at each other's throats, demanding our way. God's desire is for us to be united, built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're built on. We learn about Jesus in the Scripture. We build our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In 1866, S.J. Stone wrote a song, "The Church is One Foundation." It's a hymn. Now, if you go to a hymn church, which I went to most of my life, I know this song, and you might too. "The Church is One Foundation." That's the song, okay? "The Church is One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation." Listen to the theology in this hymn. "She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her." This is Jesus. What did He do? "To be His holy bride. You are the bride of Christ. You are special in the eyes of God. You are a bride waiting for your bridegroom to come and take you to Father's house. That's what you're waiting for. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died." Now, while you're here, the next stanza speaks the truth. "Mid toil and tribulation." I have a question. Does anybody not have tribulation? The word is thlispus. It's the crushings of this world. Every single human born onto this planet has tribulation. And when you get into the church, it doesn't exclude you from tribulation. There's probably going to be more tribulation because your enemy is fired up. But remember this, God has promised to strengthen you and to protect you from the evil one. Stay under His cover. Don't stick your foot out here in a no man's land and step on a mine. Stay under His cover. And I have to finish the stanza. So, "And tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore." The king's coming. till with vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest, united with their King, reunited with our bridegroom. No stumbling, folks, while we're here. Stand firm and help the weaker brother. There's no condemnation, folks. The law of love, there's no condemnation. 22 and 23, and then we'll be almost done. Do you have faith? I like that. Have it to yourself before God. He's talking about faith in a specific area, gray area. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, hear this loud and clear. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? All of my sin debt was paid. All of my condemnation was paid by Jesus on the cross. When he cried out, "Tetelestai," it is finished, paid in full all of my condemnation, all the wrath of God that I deserved went on Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So strong believer, no condemnation. Weak believer, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. For the strong believer, there's a caution. You don't have to give up your freedom, but keep it between you and God, not flaunting it in front of somebody else. For the weaker brother, a caution. Don't allow the stronger brother's freedom to influence you in areas that you're convicted of not going to. Don't let that happen. If you're convicted in a gray area, folks, that's between you and God. Whatever is not from faith is sin. If you go against your God-given conscience, then you are sinning. In a gray area, if you go against that, you are sinning. Don't allow an influential Christian, an influential person, an influential podcaster, an influential boss, or anybody else to influence you in a gray area and tempt you to go someplace that God has told you not to go. It's just that simple. By all means, folks, stay united. United we stand, divided we fall. Encourage one another on this journey. Encourage one another. So some closing thoughts. I think you know this. Along life's journey, we will be faced with a myriad of choices. Every single day you're faced with a plethora of choices that aren't absolutely laid out in Scripture what we should do. So what do? There's going to be sin choices that you know not to do, and there's gray area choices that you're going to have to ask God about. You're going to have to seek His will on it. Sin choices. There are no go zones in the sin choice. Don't go there. Don't do it. It's clear in Scripture. But in the gray areas, there's latitude. You have to be careful. What does God want for me in these areas? That's what you're looking for. There are plenty of gray areas that we must seek God. Now, the important thing is, how is God speaking to me in these gray areas? Now, I'm not looking at everybody else and going, well, you better follow this, Mike. You better do this gray area just like I do. If you don't do it, you're sinning. Yes, you're sinning. Yeah, that's, we don't want to do that. So seek God. Gray is between God and me. Now, some gray to me is a no-go zone. God has spoken to me on it. It's a no-go zone. And other grays, it's okay. The important thing is that you seek God. Now, give you some examples. Eating and drinking, between God and me. Where I work, God and me. If I buy a new house or a new car or a new whatever, God and me. Who I marry is between God and me. Where I go to college, folks, that's between God and me. How can I glorify God in any area? It's between God and me. My goal is to glorify God. It isn't for me to be the most popular. It isn't for me to have the most stuff. It is for me and my life to bring glory and honor to him. Now hear this. I think you know this. God first, then me. That's the structure. That's the order of life. We are not asking God. Listen to this now. Because we have the freedom to do a lot of things. But listen to this. We are not asking God to rubber stamp my will and my way and claim God told me. Because that's what Christians do. You have this desire. I really want to do this. I really want to buy that house. And I'm telling you, Chris and I wanted some houses in the past. Man, we're looking at that house. It was an idol. You know, I want that. I want that house. And then somebody buys it right from under us and we're all, it's too bad. And it wasn't God's will. See, God's will be known to you. Will be known to you. It's not about you. It's about his will. So be very careful when you're asking for his will. Think about this. I'm looking for God's will, not for someone to rubber stamp my will. Make sure you're hearing from God and not hearing from yourself. Big difference. And that can get confusing. Now, what do we do to hear from God? Now, we learned this last time. Silence. I want to silence my mind. I want to silence, not so much as silence that I'm emptying it like Eastern mysticism and that sort of thing, but I want to silence myself to hear from God as he speaks to me through his word, or he speaks to me through prayer. I want to silence myself and get alone with God. The second thing was solitude. Get alone with God like Jesus did. And then simplicity. Simplify your life. And then the final one was surrender. Remember we said this last time. That's surrendering my will, my way, to God's will, God's way. It's not about me, it's about him in all areas. On the big questions, clear your mind, allow God to speak to your spirit. Is this where you want me, God? Is this what you want for me? Not what I want for me. What did Jesus say in Gethsemane? Not my will, but your will be done. Is this what you want for me, God? Your glory. It's not about my dream coming true. Most of the times, and I think you'll realize this, particularly as you grow older, God's direction will shock you. It's not what you thought. And when God is directing you in a place you don't want to go, most of the time we resist and we go, are you sure, God? Is that you speaking, God? Because that's not the way I feel about it. But in hindsight, you'll always realize this was best. This was God's best for you as you yielded to him. He was right all along. Father does know best. If confused, pause, wait, heed what the Spirit is saying to you. And get good Christian counsel. And what does that mean? I'm not looking for someone, Dale agree with me. Dale agree with me. Oh, Dale, what should I do with this? Oh, I agree with you, Rick. Oh, just go do it. No, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for wise Christian counsel. Not that you're not wise, but you're just an example. I'm looking for wise Christian counsel to tell you what you need to hear. Proverbs 15:22, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. I want to know God's way, not my way. That's what I want to know. And I must confess, as we mature in Christ, some gray areas become no-go zones. They just do. No-go zones are areas that may not be sin, but they may hook me into sin. Things I have learned that I will share with you. I know, and I think you do too, God loves me. I know that. He's proved it. I know I want God's will for me. I must submit to his will over my desires, and I have come to know Father knows best. He does. The law of love compels me to seek his will, his way, always. In determining God's will in gray areas, consider the following. I have this book of illustrations. It's written by Michael P. Green, Illustrations for Bible Preaching. It came from there. Quote, God is said to speak to men in a still, small voice, 1 Kings 19:12, which may explain why we find it hard to hear from him when he speaks. It's much like receiving a phone call in a house with a TV on blare, the stereo on blast, in a house full of people chatting out loud. To understand the caller requires asking the friends to be quiet and turning down the stereo and TV. You have to have silence. It's one of those disciplines. So it is with hearing from God. It may well require removing the distraction, those areas of sin that deafen our ears to the voice of the Lord. Solitude. Silence and solitude, end quote. Again, the goal is to hear God, not hear me. I want to hear what God says. And God's will never conflict with his word. Let me say that again. God's will never conflict with his word. F.B. Meyer says this, the Christian has three lights to guide them into his will. When the scripture, and folks, be in the word, and conscience with knowledge, God has given every human a conscience that you know right and wrong, are lined up with outward circumstances so that the three become one, we need not fear. We may go straight ahead. God's will is clear. May God's will be done in our lives as we move onward on our journey through life. And remember the law of love and stay united. United, we are formidable, a formidable foe to the darkness. And let your light shine, folks. Let it shine, brothers and sisters. This right now, this epoch of time is our time. There was past history where they had their time. Paul had his time. Peter had his time. This is our time. And I would suggest in our time, you leave it all on the field. All on the field. Love God, love people, and seek his will in your life. The law of love, it's God's way, not my way. And I have this slide here. God's timing. God's timing, not mine. God's will, not mine. God's plan, not mine. And God's glory, not mine. It is all about God. What does he want for my life? That's where you find your shalom, your peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The wellness, wholeness, completeness of God. At peace with God, at peace with man, at peace with self. Doggedly pursue peace like that warrior. Shalom, inner security, a trust in the Lord. And there's this perfect peace that God gives you. It's called shalom, shalom. A Jewish person will oftentimes meet someone, shalom, shalom. Perfect peace to you. The work, perfect peace. The result of righteousness before God is peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. The work of righteousness will be peace, quietness. May the law of love direct your life and pursue peace. Shalom, shalom, perfect peace, brothers and sisters. Folks, that's the law of love. And the law of love is the will of God for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time to study your word. It's the inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Father, I pray that anybody here that does not know you as their Savior will say, oh, today's the day. I believe in you, Jesus. I place my trust in you. I want to become a Christ follower, not a self follower. Oh, what benefits that is, Lord. Oh, you come in, live forever with the people that are saved. You have a home forever. You are always with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I would ask you, pause, and say, I trust you, Jesus. I believe in you. I receive you as my Savior today. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding, being available to every person that has placed their trust in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.